Thank you, everyone, for joining us for another episode of Track Talk.
I am here just not really paying attention to you dipshits.
He's here in spirit. Anyway.
He's here in spirit. His avatar is with us. Just hit pause on all the porn you're downloading.
I do want to talk about Lower Decks because we haven't talked about Lower Decks in a while.
You guys plan to talk about something. You really should get your shit together.
They did it for Carrie Fisher. She did an interview where she was like...
That's Star Wars. We're talking about Star Trek.
Now I'm offended. Thanks.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
And all hilarity ensued.
Well, it's not really any smarter than that. It is dumb.
Yeah, see? Exciting news.
We're done.
By the way, good morning, gentlemen.
That's our intro.
Perfect intro. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Trek Talk, cult member.
I'm a cult member, too?
Yeah, I'm also a cult member. So is Tech.
We are a cult member.
Welcome to the 9/11 cult member edition.
We also have cult leader stage as well.
We do. And Tech's having some internet issues, so he sounds like shit.
Yes, hello. I am here just not really paying attention to you dipshits.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
So is the guy on the Discord stage?
He's here in spirit. Anyway.
He's here in spirit. his avatar is with us.
We came up with the idea a while ago just to kind of rebrand, kind of shake up, change some things, and just figured a new name would be nice. Different leadership. Well, not really different leadership. Moving things around. Cycling people in and out. Leadership roles. To kind of not burn ourselves out, kind of change things up. So that's the dumbed down version.
Well, it's not really any smarter than that. It is dumb. We're done.
Yeah, see? Exciting news.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for another episode of Track Talk.
Tech wanted to talk about Lower Deck. Anybody watch it?
Lower Decks. I watched all of them.
Tech?
Are you trying to speak to us?
All right, I'm back.
Okay, he's back.
Take it away, Tech. We're floundering without you, buddy.
I switched to fucking cellular because, god damn it, something's wrong with my internet connection.
Well, you sound fine now, so.
Just hit pause on all the porn you're downloading.
You know what? You're so right about that. I guess technically you had to download it to stream it, so. So yeah, all 16 of my websites. Gotta hit the pause button. So that was a fun explanation of why Nona is called Cult, huh? Didn't Salt also rebrand as Cult as well?
Yeah, but they call themselves Cult with an umlaut.
Cult with the umlaut.
Yeah, with an umlaut, so it's German. They're
the German cult.
Yeah, they'll show up, like, Mabenga shows up, and instead of the normal assless chaps, he's wearing lederhosen.
Das Kult.
Das Kult.
Das Kult. Gut, ja. Anyways, yeah, so that was fun. I do want to talk about Lower Decks, because we haven't talked about Lower Decks in a while, and I think there's been a couple episodes that have been out. One of them had three. We did a bit of a deep dive before with Boom when we talked about the first episode with Zephyrin Cochran's memorial site in Montana.
Yeah, went to the Phoenix.
Yeah, the Phoenix. Great movie. Yeah, so the second episode, I just watched the two, and I forgot what it was about already.
You said the second episode?
Yeah, the second episode.
For fuck's sake, I can remember what the third episode is, but for some reason I can't remember the second episode.
Yeah, the third episode was about... Oh, was it... No, the Pack-Led Planet was the first episode.
Yeah, I'm looking it up. For fuck's sake, don't you look anything up. Your internet connection will go away.
Yeah, right.
You guys plan to talk about something. You really should get your shit together.
Hey, maybe you can eat my bungus.
Now I'm offended. Thanks.
Oh, that's the one where Mariner and Ransom were fixing the station, and he was trying to... there's the one about everybody's belly buttons.
That was the very last one, right? Where
No. The last one was the one with the spheres that play out your fantasies and nightmares and shit.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Right on. All right, so let's talk about episode 2, where Ransom and Mariner, along with Rutherford and who's the engineering guy?
The guy with the mustache. I can't remember.
Yeah, whatever. They went to go fix an orbital lift or a space elevator, and they switched roles because Ransom was trying to stick it to Mariner. And all hilarity ensued. Surprisingly, in the second episode, I am thrilled that they got Martok to voice, or rather, J.G. Herzl to voice Martok in that game that they were playing. The Klingon game.
I think I'm driving to Starbucks to get coffee.
I thought you were making your own coffee at home.
You know, I'm out of milk, and I gotta go to the grocery store later, so we get Starbucks this morning. Yay!
Okay. Anyways, by the way, in that scene, they brought up that that one, like this Bullion Vendrome got promoted to captain, and Boimler couldn't believe it because it seems like that Vendrome was a kind of a screw up, and he lucked his way into captain. But at the same time, do we ever see that character before, Kirk?
Which one?
Vendrome, the one that they were talking about in the opening scene where he gets promoted to captain. He's captain of the whatever starship, and Boimler can't believe it.
Oh yeah, where he's saying yes to everything. I don't remember.
I don't remember either, right? Because that was the basis of Boimler saying yes to everything.
Yeah.
Saying yes to Springball, saying yes to being in a Bajoran choir, and then eventually being yes to being hunted.
Yeah.
I love the crazy, quirky things that they come up with. I was like, would either of you like to be hunted by me? And Boimler was like, yeah, I'll do it. And then he's like, next time, just do it next time. And I'm like, no, I'm bold Boimler. I'm going to do it. And he bit off a little more than he could chew, and eventually gets speared in the shoulder. But luckily, his what was the guy's name again? The one who did the hunting.
I don't remember. Not memorable enough.
He starts with like a K character.
There you go.
Is there anybody in the audience that remembers any of this shit? Because these guys are wandering up here.
I think you're looking for the answer, the Predator.
Yeah, he looks like Predator.
Oh, no shit. I was just guessing.
No, I mean, he's got all the, like...
Who the fuck invited this guy up here?
Shut the fuck up.
Hey, he's the cult leader, man. You can't not invite him up to the stage. So, Kirk, what'd you think of the episode?
They're pretty... I mean, to me, it's hard to top the first one with the callbacks and everything. So, it was... I don't know. It was cute. I definitely like the... I like the third episode a bit better.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
With the orbs and the fears?
Yeah, with the fucking... Like, why are you guys moving so fast? Well, we don't want them to fucking think we're pussies or whatever. He's like, what are you talking about? Yeah, they said Ransom was a fucking slow, and he was inefficient. What? He's like slam dunking. He like pulls his sleeves over his hands, starts slam dunking orbs and shit. Knocks him over.
And then the noxious gas combines with all the information that they're feeding. Creates all these random monsters.
Yeah, and then there's like a lesbian werewolf that's blue. Or something.
An Andorian lesbian werewolf.
Yeah, that's trying to bang Mariner.
Yeah. Do we ever... Again, is this another callback? Do we know who that Andorian is? The female one?
I think she might have been referenced in the previous season. I don't know.
Because her name is Jennifer, I remember that. But I don't remember if... there must have been a previous Lower Decks episode with her. And Mariner, how they used to hook up or something. But I can't remember.
No, fucking no.
But yeah, it was actually a nice plot behind it where the rock people and the civilians were trying to team up and steal Starfleet secrets so they could get more money, if you will, by selling it to their enemies. It was a pretty cool subplot that kind of got overlooked. All right, nothing. Nobody.
Not really. No.
Nobody likes to talk about it. All right, there's two new Star Trek shows in development that I want to talk about, and I want to get everybody's thoughts and opinions on it. The first show is Star Trek Janeway, and the second show is Star Trek Khan. So they think Paramount is in talks with Kate Mulgrew to reprise her live-action role as Star Trek, as a Janeway from Voyager. And then I didn't know this, but Nicholas Meyer, who was the producer of Star Trek II Wrath of Khan, he was a consulting producer on Star Trek Discovery Season 1. And he had an idea of bridging the gap between the episode Space Seed and Star Trek II The Wrath of Khan. How did the, you know, USS Reliant, miss SETI Alpha 5 for SETI Alpha 6? How did Khan's wife die? What created this jaded nature that we see in Star Trek 2? So that's going to be the bridging series. And I don't know too much about Star Trek Janeway, but I wanted to get your guys' opinions on what do you think you'd want to see from those shows.
I don't know what I would want to see, but I know what we're going to see, and it's going to basically be the Janeway version of Picard.
I really hope not.
No, it is. I mean, that's just what it's going to be. And it's going to be, I think they're going to do just like Picard. It's going to be a darker sort of Trek. Right. And I think that's what they're going to do. They're going to do it with that one. And if that one becomes successful, then they may go on to do Star Trek fucking, I don't know, whoever the fuck, Cisco or something, you know, something like that. I don't know. But that's probably, it looks like that's what they're going to do. They're kind of focusing on those characters. And that's for Janeway. I mean, I don't dislike Kate Mulgrew's character. I think she did a good job. You know, Voyager's definitely not my favorite show by any stretch of the imagination, but I think it has potential. Maybe, I don't know, if they do the same shit they did with Picard, then they'll butcher it, of course. But for Khan would be more interesting to me. The problem is, who are you going to get to play Khan?
You probably have to cast somebody else. You're not going to be able to cast Benedict Cumberbatch.
Well, you can't use Benedict Cumberbatch because that comes from a different timeline where they genetically altered him to make him look different than, you know, the sort of initially, obviously, Khan Noonien Singh is from fucking India. Like, the story is from India, even though Montalban was not from India. But anyway, I digress. They're going to have to come up with someone that's obviously going to look the part. So the big question is, who are they going to get to look the part? I'm thinking it's probably going to be someone who's probably much larger, bigger. So they're probably going to get someone like probably from Punjab or something like that. You know, somebody that's like 6 foot something, you know, kind of muscular, you know, something along those lines where it shows the, you know, the immediate apparent, you know, genetic superiority and superior physique and strength and stuff like that. So, yeah, if anybody from Paramount's listening, please don't cast a white guy.
Like they do in everything other that's Asian themed.
Cast please white don't. People. Please don't cast a white guy. I won't watch it on that alone. I just won't. And I'm not one of those people. Like, oh my God, it's been whitewashed. Like, whatever. But this is definitely something where the backstory is so important. You can't cast a fucking honky. I'm sorry. But not sorry. Anyway, I'm done.
So I was reading a little bit about Janeway. Who was talking about that? Tech?
That was me.
Yeah, so did you watch Prodigy?
I did watch Prodigy, the first part of it.
Yeah, they talk about Janeway being aboard, and I just had to look this up because I couldn't remember, the USS Dauntless, because she's looking for Chakotay. So I guess the kind of projected idea for Janeway is that it would be kind of the opposite of Picard, where she would still be like active in Starfleet. And I guess it would be kind of weird though, because she'd be an admiral, like, you know, at the helm of a starship rather than kind of sitting in an office like the majority of them are.
Kirk did that though. Kirk was an admiral at the helm of a starship.
Yeah, that's true.
And then he got demoted.
That's the little bit of what I've read about Janeway and kind of what she's talked about at like various cons, is that there's like potential for her to be actively on a starship. But I guess they're kind of, you know, looking at what is working with Picard and what's not working with Picard.
Here's a question for you guys. Have you seen, well, I forget the actress, the Janeway actress, but she has not aged.
Kate Mulgrew.
She has not aged well.
Yeah.
I just don't see her as being...
Did you watch Orange is the New Black?
Well, dude, I mean, they put Brent Spiner as Data, and he looked like...
He looks terrible.
He looked terrible. So did Riker. So did Deanna. Deanna looked like somebody's fucking Italian mom.
I mean, I understand, like, the Riker and Troy, how they look, because they were kind of, like, raising a family, and everybody looks old when they have kids, but, yeah, I mean, I just think that with Picard, Patrick Stewart doesn't age compared to everybody else, and maybe he's taking care of himself a little bit better, because he's always been actively, you know, in these really kind of important motion pictures, or, you know, shows or theater. But yeah, Kate Mulgrew, she looks a little rough.
No, she does. I don't see how they cast her.
The Picard storyline also takes place much later, so it's expected that everybody's older, right? Like years and years and years after the events of the Enterprise, it takes place. So it's kind of expected that everybody's going to look old, except Data. Data shouldn't look old because it's fucking Data. But, you know, it's expected that, you know, everybody's going to look like fucking rough as fuck, right? Because that's just kind of, that's part of the storyline. But if you're going to do something where she's promoted to admiral and everything like that, how are you going to do that? You know, I would be interested to see.
I know they probably didn't have the budget on Picard one, but they totally should have CGI'd Brent Spiner's face, because they, you know, they have the technology for that. They've obviously done it with like Robert Downey Jr. in Marvel films, but I just don't think they have the budget for it.
They did do that, by the way. They did CGI Spiner.
On Brent Spiner? Oh, God. Yes. And it still looked really bad.
Yes.
It looked like the thing that ate Data.
Like, his face was super... I mean, you could see there were signs of aging. Like, he had, like, you know, jowls. It was really... The makeup was cakey.
Jowls. He had jowls.
Yeah. Like, he had saggy skin, and, you know, he's an android. He's not supposed to look like that.
He should look exactly the same.
If you look at, like, the Star Wars cinematic kind of thing, when they brought... God, that's who played Leia? I can't even think of her name right now.
Carrie Fisher?
Thank you. When they brought Carrie Fisher back, they had her get in shape. They had her, you know, kind of look the part, and I wonder if they're going to do that for Kate Mulgrew, maybe drop some weight. I'm sure she has access to, you know, several kind of skin therapies and stuff like that. But I don't think they're going to throw her up there and just have her look like she does walking down the street. So hopefully...
Yeah, probably not.
Who was the lady, the fucking hilarious, is a comedian? She was always interviewing people, really loud, like Jewish lady. Always with the plastic surgery. She died not too long ago. You know,
oh, Joan Rivers?
What is she gonna, like, she's gonna show up on the bridge looking like Joan Rivers with the face pulled back and shit?
No, they'll probably have her lose weight. I mean, they will probably have her, you know, go through some kind of prep for the show.
No, that's not body positive, and that's what Star Trek's all about, is inclusivity, and you can't do that.
They did it for Carrie Fisher. That she did an interview where she was like...
That's Star Wars. We're talking about Star Trek.
I'm sorry, if they throw Janeway up there like she walks on the street these days, it's going to be a shit show.
I will say they de-aged, what's her name on the Orville? Who's the Dolly Parton? They digitally de-aged her on the show. So I don't think that Paramount's not above using de-aging technology with Janeway.
I mean, why not? If it's the storyline, I understand. But I'm just saying, these are the types of writers who would absolutely be like, be who you are. Like, that's the same energy they got. I'm just saying, I wouldn't be so surprised.
There's also, like, editing filters they use to, like, soften, you know, certain frames of people so they don't look super old and you don't see, you know, whatever, skin blemishes or, I mean, they can doctor that up and make her look magical as fuck.
I'm interested, no matter what they do, I'm interested in the outcome. I'd be very interested to see how they're going to do it. Because I mean, she has, it's a good character. So just because I'm not a fan of the show doesn't mean I don't respect the, you know, the character and the character development. I think the character's great. So I would be very interested to see it. And actually, believe it or not, I'd be more so interested in watching that than I was at watching Picard.
Especially if they bring those supporting characters back from Voyager, I think.
Yeah. And they will. I guarantee you they will, just like they did on Picard. They brought a bunch of different people back. And, I mean, you know, they even drug in Seven of Nine. And that's a different show than TNG. So I think they're going to do a pretty good job.
And Seven of Nine looks great for her age.
Let me tell you something, man.
yeah, she's definitely got the genes for it.
I'm trying to get in them jeans. Anyway, I digress.
Yeah, that shut everybody up.
I like Swagger's comment. Just don't cast Kumail Nanjiani as Khan. That would be really funny, but it would be so sad at the same time. You guys have no idea what I'm talking about, do you?
Yeah, I do. I love his voice, though. That would be fantastic. I would just be laughing the whole time.
I mean, I think it would be pretty funny.
Yeah.
It would turn it into one big joke, for sure.
Him on the Obi-Wan series was kind of funny.
Yeah, he was super funny.
Yeah, although Khan is a more serious character, though.
Khan, also, they need to capture the, what's the word I'm looking for? The way that Khan was is very, what's the word I'm looking for? Not passionate, but it kind of describes it. He's very, I don't know, I can't think of a word to describe.
Super resolved and, like, committed, I think, if you're, like, nothing kind of, I don't know what you're... that's the best way I think I can explain it, is that not passionate, but kind of directed towards one...
Resolved.
Yeah, resolved, kind of committed. But yeah, I think they need somebody who's definitely headstrong as an actor to play that part.
Very, very dramatic. Everything he said was, you know, just very... Similar to the way that Kirk, you know, that Shatner played Kirk, everything. It was almost to the point of overacting, where it was, I don't know, the energy was just different. It wasn't just, you know, he couldn't just say a fucking line. He had to, like, be the line. You know what I mean?
Khan was very charismatic.
Well, he's charismatic, but I'm not talking about, I mean, you can be charismatic without, you know, being so... I can't even, the word's fucking escaping me, but just the way that he was, the way that Montalban portrayed Khan, and Benedict Cumberbatch did, you know, in actually a pretty good way.
With a character like that, I really feel like it's gone by that really they could do anything they want with it. I think it would be acceptable to most people. I know it would me, because I wouldn't really have any expectations of Khan. Not really.
Ooh.
Same. Mm-mm.
No, Khan still has to fit the bill. Absolutely.
Sure, within a certain vague framework, but I still think they could.
I think there's enough of an element of Khan that has been portrayed both in Star Trek II, Star Trek Into Darkness, and Space Seed, where you can't turn him into an Anson Mount.
You're talking about a continuation of that timeline and as a direct relation to that. So it has to be pretty much the same character.
Khan Daniel L. Jackson.
Oh my God.
I think there's been enough of a variability amongst the actors in these kind of bigger productions that if they get the formula of the writing and the acting and the directing right, what Handy's trying to say and what I agree with is they could potentially get an actor who maybe doesn't, is not Middle Eastern or is not East Indian to play that character. I mean, I think it would be great if they could to maybe stay a little bit truer to, who the character is described as, but there is enough of his ancestors who are not portrayed by East Indian or Asian characters that they could probably get away with it if they have that formula right,
Yep, that's pretty much what I was getting at.
If you know the backstory of Khan and you understand the history of it, it doesn't, unless you completely change the history, which means you would be trying to change canon, and there's no way you could get away with that. I mean, the history of Khan involves his upbringing in that culture, and so you that's why even in when they cast Benedict Cumberbatch and they made him into a white guy, they had to, and of course it's an alternate timeline, so that's how they got away with it, but even then they had to explain how Khan has this Indian name and now there's now a white guy with blue eyes. They had to explain that. They had to go through this whole thing because so much of that person's history, of Khan's history, is tied to the character. So if you eliminate that, you have no character.
But I mean, for us who are, more invested in those parts of the story, that is important. But I think for the wider scale of things, the majority of people don't know anything about his backstory. And the studio, if they can, I think they'll try to get away with that, for money-making purposes or, for casting a big name. But for, the rest of us who are, and maybe the smaller group of Star Trek fans who are actually doing the research, that's going to be a really important, feature, right? Is if they get it right. But sadly, I don't really think that there are a lot of advocates for that on set. I don't think that the filmmaking crew is going to give two shits about what they look like in relation to what kind of money they're going to make.
We'll see.
I still think the majority of Star Trek fans that flip the bill are old school fans as opposed to new school fans.
I hear what you're saying, and I unfortunately agree that that's the way a lot of them think. It's all about making money, of course. How can I capitalize on this character? The thing about it is, what you're doing is you're creating a show revolving around a character. That character has certain fans. So you're creating a show revolving around a particular character. That means the storyline of that character is much more important than the storyline of a character that where the show is not based solely on them. So if you were to change some supporting cast member, right, you would try to change that stuff around, you would be more apt to get away with that than you would to completely change somebody's story and when that show and that storyline is based on that character and their storyline. So I just don't think they're going to get away with it, because most of what you know about Khan is from the show and the movies, right? And so the little bit of extra stuff that you may have to look into, even then, if you eliminate all that, you still have that history that really has to be there, or you just don't have the character. And I think that it is going to flop if they don't stay true to that. So I'm hoping that they do that, I'm sure there's a chance that they won't, but I think that there's definitely more than one person going, hey, we can't do that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that there is, I mean, there are going to be people who are rooting for that kind of trueness to the background, but I just don't trust the administrative side of making those shows and films, because they've kind of been done the wrong way, you know, several times in other, you know, in the other shows where you're like, don't bring a character back. They already died. Hint, hint, Data. Like, don't bring that character back. I think that was a huge mistake in Picard. I know why they did it, but I just feel like it could have been done a lot better even without bringing Brent Spiner back. But yeah, I just feel like they will do it for whatever reason, but we all hope like you, SK. I don't trust the studio that way.
Yeah, the new guy's in charge, Alex Kurtzman, he hasn't been shown to, unless he himself has been hands off and let the guys who actually like Star Trek do the Star Trek shows, then you can actually get some good shows like Lower Decks and Strange New Worlds. But what I've read is that Nicholas Meyer, the guy who wrote and produced Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan, will be the guy in charge in producing the series. So there is hope. There's always hope that they'll actually do something worthwhile. Although I have been reading that because they also cut his budget by more than half, this could be also a podcast as opposed to an actual show. Like a podcast type miniseries. And I don't know how I feel about that. Duke, what do you think, man? You've got Khan as your avatar.
Ricardo Montalban is hard to beat. He played the character so well in the series and in the movie. The charismaticness of Khan, the cunning, the megalomania, just so many facets to him. He's kind of crazy, but he's kind of sane at the same time. It'll be interesting. It depends on who they cast.
How important do you think that they stay true to casting someone who fits the bill with that backstory? How important do you think that is to the integrity?
I like Benedict Cumberbatch as an actor, but I think he was the wrong choice for Khan. It didn't come across as strong as, you know, what I thought it should.
I actually like Benedict Cumberbatch's version of Khan, and it makes sense that he would have actually an Indian accent or an English accent, because he, you know, the more of the Indian elites have a British accent. But other than him being white, and not just white, like pasty white. Like, he is super pasty white. And granted, there was a backstory about why he was genetically modified to be, you know, John Harrison or whatever. But other than that, he did a great job, I think, with that. So he...
Good job. It's just, I don't think it came across as strong as the previous actor with Khan and what made Khan, I guess.
Well, Montalban made the character memorable.
Yes.
Because there's always a guest star playing a villain. And that character was so memorable that he got his own fucking movie. So, and I think that's, if you would have put anybody else in Montalban's space to do that, I don't think there would have been a Khan movie.
So, anyways, I'm cautiously optimistic about these two new shows that are coming out to go along with the cadre of Star Trek content we have, for better or for worse, if you will.
I personally am very interested in seeing how Scopely is going to capitalize on it.
Oh, well, I mean, we'll get at least 10 new currents, you know, per show.
You know what's going to happen? They're going to come out with a Prime Khan pack, and it's going to be a skin to change Cumberbatch to Montalban. And it's going to be $99.99.
Well, no, it's not going to be a skin. They're just going to release a new Khan character.
I was being a fucking dick.
And then his specialty is going to be, if he's the captain on the bridge, he increases damage by X percent and reduces armada damage by X percent. Like, because we're going to get some new armadas out of him.
Or there's going to be they're going to release a new Botany Bay, and it's going to have fucking nuclear missiles or something. I don't know.
It's gonna mine another material that you need to refine.
That's exactly what it is. It's gonna mine those spinal tap worms.
Yes. It's gonna be in SETI Alpha 5, new augment space, and you're gonna have to mine and refine yet another new currency. Thanks for making this topic more depressing. Appreciate it.
That's what it is, and you're gonna have to trade. You have to trade them in for some new research that makes the Botany Bay faster, and you're gonna have to do that to get this new refinery, to get these new tokens that you can only get if you purchase Montalban for $99.99 for a quarter of the officer.
No, he's gonna be an epic officer, and they're gonna offer Scopely. They're going to offer, what is it, like 6 packs for $99.99 each. And then if you want to try to free to play it, it's going to take you a year to get first tier.
Yep. That's exactly how it's going to go.
There's going to be a Botany Bay A, and it's going to have a debuff ability that works on miners. You can slow people's mining.
All right. Since I guess we're transitioning into STFC stuff. I want to ask, and Scopely has changed the way they offer officers now, and it's kind of a weird transition that they did, that they used to offer a bunch of shards and a bunch of events so you can unlock these officers, but now what they've done is for every new officer that comes out, you can buy to max it immediately or wait until never to get it, and I want to know your thoughts on that.
It's fucking bullshit. A pile of shit. I don't like it.
The only decent officers they've come... Well, I don't want to say that, because the Strange New World, the SNW Pike and those officers are really good for grinding. I mean, those are really solid crews. So I can't... It's hard to talk shit on that. But their most recent... doing what you're talking about. It's like, we'll give you enough shards to get you 3 shards away from unlocking the officer, and then it's going to take you 3 years to get the other 3 shards for free.
I found that mechanic with the strike team very kind of annoying, that you could have bought and maxed like all the strike team officers, and now I was playing against a 39 that had those officers maxed on his auger. And he was just blowing up my ships without even, like 1 round, 2 round. He's got, like, a max. Oh, yeah.
No, yeah, you're fucked.
Yeah, he's got full synergy, fully maxed strike team on his fully maxed auger. And I got, like, a tier 7, tier 7 auger and a tier 7 enterprise. And, like, I don't even make it out of the second round against those.
I was able to defeat somebody that had the full strike team, and I only have La'an and Una, but I use Charvenek against another auger that was actually tier 9. Mine's tier 8 with a couple guns remaining, and I blew him out of the water pretty decent.
Because La'an is only, I guess, in auctions, but like for me, Una and Ortega, they're T4, but...
Yeah, I didn't spend any money on those officers. I only went after La'an for the auction, and I was able to unlock her. And then recently, with the we fucked up chests, I was able to unlock Una. So now I have those two, and I took it to the cleaner. So
yeah, I kind of wish they would release more officers into the officer pool, not only the ultra pool, but the premier token pool as well.
Oh, the gold ones, the premium or whatever.
Yeah.
I always end up getting fucking officer experience and transporter shards. I never get any of the officers I want from the premium.
Yeah. I just use the premium for like little officer events that come up that to pull for officers. I think they should add more rare officers in there and more, you know, all the uncommon ones in there. But the transporter pattern officers have always been very few. Picard should be in the ultra pull. I think all the officers should be in the ultra pull, all the epics anyway.
I wonder if they could just start repurposing some of their other officers that nobody uses with just refit them with lower deck abilities so they become more useful.
They did it with officer traits for the uncommons. Common ones, I don't even really use the common ones. Well, for anything, to be honest.
I mean, has anybody ever used Arcadi for anything?
When I first got him, and that's who I had to use because I didn't have very many when I first started playing.
Or 0718?
Base defense.
He's actually useful for incursions if you load up ships with different base defense crews.
What, 0718?
Yeah, I mean, he gives a little bit, but I mean, that's about it.
I think they're better officers for base defense.
Yeah, but if you're crewing up six ships, inevitably he's going to go on a bridge if you're doing base defense.
I guess that's true if you got like six or seven docks. If you only got five like me, and there's only so many officers you can use.
I will say I finally sprang and got the sixth dock there. And it's pretty damn convenient.
Oh, yeah. More ships are always more convenient. Because with all the freaking armadas you have to run, I mean, you kind of need all those ships now.
Interesting that it doesn't have its own gun. I figured that would be something else they could try to capitalize on, but...
I have a feeling they're going to add a seventh dock, though.
They're going to do what?
Add a seventh dock.
They have one. It's called being level 57.
Oh, there is a seventh dock? Okay, well, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, if you buy the extra dock and you get to level 57, then you get an extra dock. And don't forget to get some 2-star materials in order to upgrade it.
When I got my 5th dock, I did that. I ended up having a mine G2 shit. I got a couple PMs. Like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you mining G2 shit? Look, man, leave me alone.
I ran into that, didn't have any G2 material, and had to do the same thing. I didn't expect that, so.
You heard it here first, folks. Mine your G2.
Mine your G2. Yeah, so I'm not a fan of going back to the conversation about officers. I'm not a fan of Scopely just releasing a full officer outright. Especially one that does so much damage in the strike team, where you could just buy your officer and max it immediately, as opposed to like actually grinding to get parts. Because they've done that with O'Brien now, and I think they're going to do that with Nerys.
O'Brien is a
super niche.
Yeah, and I don't need him for just one thing. I mean, I don't like what they did to Gala. I mean, well, they locked her away, and then they turned around and then they increased the crit damage from the armadas because the outcry was so bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they removed the ability of stacking the crits in order to just increase the amount of damage that the armada puts out.
Yeah.
What's the damage now? 450%?
Yep.
Fun.
So, yeah, that kind of changed everything a little bit because, I mean, if anything, I mean, it gets people to thinking about, oh, okay, well, I have these older officers and they seem to work out well. Just
again, it's been talked about the whole thing about you're not supposed to gain zero damage on the armadas when you do it. Now, what happened was, I'm pretty sure, is that the guy that designed this Cardassian armada crap, he got butthurt that people figured out within like a couple hours that you could just stack Gala and then you get zero damage. And he's just like, oh no, they found a way around my beautiful design. The Scopely pulled it.
The whole Armada thing, I'm not a fan of the Cardassian Armada. If to me, they should have just added the Cardassian faction. A Cardassian faction and made a skin available for people stationed. If you want it to look like a Federation space station, Klingon, Romulan, or Cardassian type space station, or an outpost.
You know, I'm just freaking tired of Armadas in general. There's too many. They're annoying. They're just frustrating is what they are. You got a 15-minute timer for that one. You got a 5-minute timer for another one. You got a 3-minute timer for this one. You got a 7-minute timer for the other one. Like, it's just frustrating is what they are.
Well, they become useless, and it's like the ones, the Doomsday Armadas. They've been rendered useless. The mycelium ones, the Klingon burial ones, they're useless. They were useless when they put them out there, and it's like they don't have any really reward other than mycelium. And it's like, okay, you can't really refine mycelium to stock up anything till you get below what, 18 or 19,000?
18K, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if they would let you stock up, you know, that'd be a different story and make, you know, that would add importance to the Armada versus mining. But, you know, who really mines mycelium? No one. I don't really see the point in mining Tritanium or Par Steel because your refineries don't refine enough of it to do anything. So it's stupid to have mining spots out there that, you know, you can't build a ship with it.
Yeah, it's so useless now. Like do you remember back in the day you had to mine Tritanium in order to like upgrade some components?
Yeah.
And now like your event rewards are like, oh, here's like 2 billion Tritanium for your rewards for killing a bunch of hostiles. And you're like, I could never mine 2 billion Tritanium.
Flat out destroyed it all.
That's why they have to put out all these new currencies, because it's just, there's just so much. Yeah, I'm not a fan of the Armadas. I just, like, it's just like one other thing that you have to do every day, right? Because you have to, how many buttons now are we up to clicking in the morning?
A lot.
Or during reset or whenever you click all your buttons. I mean, it's just like, it's an insane amount.
Well, like the biominerals, I mean, to me, if you get in the level 40s, the biominerals, you know, the ones that you got, they don't pay crap anyway, but that should have graduated into the new biominerals. Let's just say when you hit level 40, so you don't have to have, you know, click on that, the old biomineral versus the new, you know, click on the new one to gather whatever materials. It should automatically have transitioned once you hit level 40. The Borg probe, I don't even really do the Borg probes hardly anymore. It's just too much. To do.
What about the Borg Armadas?
I do them from time to time, but I don't even partake in all the Armadas. If some lower level guy wants to do a Borg Armada, I'll send a ship out there and let it sit. But the reward payout, it's not even worth doing.
Yeah, because now you can refine your active nanoprobes a lot faster.
Well, they weren't even worth doing before. I mean, it's just the payout was so low. Unless you're buying a pack or using Latinum independent credits, there's really no feasible way to build up a lot of independent credits unless you save them up over time, because they give you such a low amount. Because I think you can save up like
400 a day.
Yeah, something like that. Because you can save up around 2,000 a week.
Yeah, you can get about, like, if you're good about independent credits, you could get about 400 a day. Like, that's with Borg probes and mining data.
Yeah.
So you could get about 400 a day.
Because I mine the data just so I can do that poll every day. And I'll usually, like, once a month go out and I'll mine a bunch of data and then keep polling. I expect them to add more independent officers soon, like Garrick and a few others. Yeah.
I just hope they're not Armada-specific officers. They're, like, it's really annoying. I'm also really tired about the specificity of the officers that they release.
Too niche.
I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, Strategy Worlds crew. Yeah, okay, Pike's good, and then you gotta make sure he's synergy with, okay, what ship am I running? I'm running the Auger. Okay, who can I hit with the Auger? Explorers. Okay, who's that officer that I could hit Explorers with? I don't fucking know. Whatever, Ortegas or something. Like it's just like, what? Like, come on, why can't I just throw some crews on and off I roll?
Were it so easy?
Well, I mean, it was for a time, right? You know, like, I used to just have, like, one PvP / Armada crew. Now I got to think about it, right? You know, my Armada crew, I want to maximize loot versus PvP, I want to maximize damage or mitigation, right? So they're different officers now.
Yeah, they did the same thing with the TNG crew, you know. Use this one for Klingon Armadas, use this one for, you know.
Yes.
And it's like, why? I already have an Armada crew that works really well, but yeah. And I'm not sure, I mean, yeah, does it add a little bit more damage? Yeah, but if you have Armada research, and you have enough ships in the, you know, that are able to do the Armada, I don't think it's, you're going to have that much of an issue.
Well, I don't use the TNG crew. TNG crew is like my fourth Armada crew if I'm running that many.
Yeah, I thought TNG was going to be for hostiles, but they really don't work that well on high level hostiles. Low level hostiles, yeah, but high level, you know, up in deep space, it sucks.
What tier are your officers at?
They're at 4. I've tried different combinations, but the best grouping I get is with Khan, Gorkon, and running 5 as captain. Sometimes I'll
Wait,
put,
who is it?
Khan, Gorkon, and then I run 5 of as captain. And they're all
5 Gorkon. Oh, so you're just maximizing your crits, right? You're just maximizing your damage to kill things faster.
Yeah, I've tried using Riker, and Riker's T5, but I noticed that with using Gorkon, I actually kill a couple. I mean, he gives me like 2 or 3 more hostile kills than over Riker. So, and I'm hunting mostly Federation because I'm pushing Klingon and Romulan up right now, but yeah, I thought they'd work out better. Strange New World crew, I'm still working on getting them up to hunt in deep space, but
yeah, you really need to get that crew up higher because they only work on a certain level band.
Yeah,
because mine are T2 and T2 like. If I take them to hit Borg probes with a Vidar, they're excellent. But if I take them to hit, you know, even if I go to Tygo Core, you know, they're still not that great.
Yeah, I have to get them up to T4. They're sitting around T2 and T3. So.
Yeah, I mean they're easier now to do the pulls with the Mantis.
I haven't got the lucky ones that people have been getting. I don't know why.
I've gotten lucky Uhura pulls twice.
Yeah, me too. Same exact. 2 lucky Uhura pulls. Everything else is like 2s infused or 20 shards.
That's all I've been getting. And Ortega got leveled up because I was getting, for some reason, Ortega was falling at 20 shards. And that's the most I've ever gotten out of any of them.
I mean, granted, the lucky pulls are only like 47, right, for the rare officers. So, you know, I haven't experienced the lucky 110 hemmer pull. That was nice.
Actually, there's been a few people on our server have gotten the the lucky hammer pulls. But the most I've gotten out of him was like one or two.
Yeah, I've gotten like two.
Yeah, I haven't gotten much.
The below decks crew, I've never gotten a lucky pull on any of them. I get the most I've gotten is about five shards at a time.
Yeah, I pulled a lucky hammer. I thought the game was broke. Scopely gave me something I could use that I didn't already have. Fuck, I went immediately and hit reset. I was like, what the fuck just happened?
Supposedly they fixed it and people won't be getting, at least not as regularly as they were.
Oh, so my game was broken. That explains it.
That's my understanding.
For that particular time, yeah. Hammer is good, but you got to get him up to like tier 3, tier 4 before he's really good for traders.
Well, for, I think it may be level dependent because it made a big difference, you know, when I'm up there trying to kill 56, 57 traders, it made a big difference on the damage I was taking. I think before I got the lucky hammer, the best gear I could use mitigation wise was Picard, Bev, Khan.
Bev works really well.
Yeah, and the hammer did, you know, Pike, Hammer, and Khan does outdo the Picard, Bev.
You don't use full synergy? I guess you can't yet.
Yeah, well, yeah, like on with Hammer, there's nobody to do synergy with, and basically you're running.
Yeah, you can. You can run full synergy with any of the SNW crew.
Yeah, but your third officer's not going to do anything.
True.
So it's, you know, I'd rather have crit.
That's a good point.
Did they change Picard? Because I could have swore his card profile read different stats at one time.
Yeah, they changed him at one point. They changed him, I think, what, to basically mirror Pike.
Okay.
Well, what was he before? I never got him.
He had like it was some kind of percentage thing, and then now it's like I think capped at 20%. But I could have swore the card read different when I first read it. But when I got him, I hadn't unlocked him yet, and so I had never used him. Then when I went back and looked at, you know, read his captain ability, I'm like, I swear it changed.
Smooth. Do you know if Picard changed on you?
I'm looking right now. Give me just a minute.
Also, if you're not paying attention to your game right now, go out and start getting your plundered cargo for this fucking event.
Really?
Yeah, you got to use your amalgam to get plundered. You can raid other people. You can, like, raid resources from people that are OPL, but the plundered cargo is going to be the easiest.
What event is that?
I don't know what the fuck it's called. You just go out and you get the cargo for the isolinear rods.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what Picard's captain ability you read before, but it's definitely changed. It was not that. I thought it was something to do with crits before.
Yeah, his officer ability was crits, but the captain ability was a percentage.
I could have swore it was something else before that he didn't work like Pike, but now, I haven't seen my wallet in a year, so expecting me to remember something's pretty slim.
What's plundered cargo?
Jesus, fuck, Candy.
God damn it. You go to the fucking, the space where you get the amalgam plundered cargo. That's the shit you use to refine for the amalgam every 3 days.
Candy's just riding around space looking for shit, like, hey, there's somebody. I'm going to kill this guy.
All right, so let's see. This is some guide. So make it so the it says increase the effectiveness of combat-related officer abilities by 2 times 10%. Captain's maneuver. Is that what it says?
I think so. It caps out at 20%, if I remember right.
Yeah, it's 2 times 10%, so that's 20%.
Oh, mine says increase the effectiveness of officer abilities that trigger in combat by 20%. It doesn't have the times.
Oh, okay. So it did change a little bit. It says increase the effectiveness of combat related officer abilities.
Yeah, they changed that because everybody was bitching back in the day that Pike didn't give the extra warp range or the extra cargo with Stone.
Yeah, and it only activated for certain abilities.
It was like that for a long time, and then they finally changed it. Because people were like, hey, it's not working. I can't get extra warp range, or I can't get extra cargo. It's not working. And they were like, oh, yeah, we're working on it. And then they were like, actually, fuck you.
Yeah, it is most times.
Yeah, pretty much.
I had to put in a ticket for battleship parts because the multiphasic credits I was pulling for G5 parts, and there were no rare parts in there. And they're like, oh, well, we know this has been a known issue for a while. I'm like, well, shit, when are you going to add the parts? And I think when they finally did another patch, they fixed it and added the rare parts back in there for the G5 battleship.
What level do you have to be to refine rare parts?
Well, this was for multiphasics, but you have to be 56, I found out, to refine rare parts for G5, which I think is stupid. You should be able to start refining rare parts around 52, 53.
I mean, I don't know. Why not just let people refine everything they need? I mean, for fuck's sake.
That's what I agree with. I figure once you hit, you know, like once you get in your level 40s, you should be able to start refining, you know, the common, the rare, and uncommon. And then as you level up, it should increase exponentially.
But then how else are you going to buy packs?
No, you'd still need pack for Tritanium and some other items, but I mean, it's sad that you can buy a pack and it doesn't even build a component or close to a component.
Yeah, I had to get to, I think I had to get like Ops 44 before I could start getting rare materials. I still can't even get rare parts for the fucking ship. So, like my Meridian, I have to wait until I either do an Armada thing or scrap a G3 ship for me to be able to get some fucking rare parts. For like the Meridian and shit like that.
Yeah, you can't get rare parts from scrapping G3. They won't give it to you.
It seems to me I scrapped a maxed out faction miner and they gave me some.
I scrap all the time and it's just uncommon parts. And I got to where I just hunt hostiles for ship parts for G4. So I can always keep a steady stream of hopefully, you know, in between 20 and 30 parts of what I get on a pull when I get them. Sometimes I get, you know, nothing. It's kind of like doing the refinery pull. Oh, 7 uncommon. That's all you get today.
This is so obnoxious. I'm having to fucking try to beat everybody to the damn, these amalgam, the supply ships. I'm having to beat everybody to them.
I just keep looking for a different system where nobody's grinding. I don't think we're really talking about anything relevant. Probably just end the show. Go to the after party.
We'd be done.
You know, I just looked at Picard's ability and Pike's ability, and they're the exact same ability, except Pike is 40%.
And
they're the exact same ability, except Pike is 40% and Picard is 20%.
Yeah, but it's 2x20.
No, it's just one is 20, one's 40. Sorry about that. All right.
Before you cut it off, y'all shot my Samuel L. Jackson con down. What about Samuel L. Jackson as a new and improved Gordy that just kills the fuck out of everybody?
Horrible idea.
That's a terrible idea.
Y'all wouldn't know entertainment if it ran you fucking over.
I mean, they did that with Nick Fury, right? They replaced David Hasselhoff with Samuel L. Jackson.
I mean, I think they should use Burt Reynolds.
Isn't he dead?
Yeah, it's going to be hard.
Oh, did he die?
He's CGI him.
Yeah, he died.
Did I really not know that?
Yeah, he passed.
Shit.
Hey, one other note. I did watch like the first 5 episodes of Deep Space Nine. I don't know, a lot of yard. Deep Space Nine fanatics. It was okay. It's hard to watch when you've seen new technology. And now you're watching this, you know, mid-90s, just clear, fuzzy, bad acting, bad graphics. But it's okay.
That's some good stories.
The first few seasons of Deep Space Nine were also not the best. Starts getting better when they introduced the Defiant in season 3.
Well, at the rate I watch TV, it will take me a long time to get to where it gets good. We don't have a lot of TVs here at the compound, so it takes a while.
All right, we're done with this fucking show.
Smooth lives at a black site.
We are done with this fucking show.
All right, guys. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Appreciate everybody coming up. Andra, your thoughts, always awesome. Cult leader Smooth, appreciate you stopping by and sharing your cultiness. And Duke, pleasure for you to stop by. Feel free to stop by again. And cult member, you know who you are. You were recorded. So there.
Who he is, but he knows who he is.
He knows who he is. Exactly. All right, guys. Thanks again for listening. Please like, subscribe, comment, do all the things social media asks you to do. And we'll see you guys next time. I'm TechMan16.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Andy.
Laters.
And we'll see you guys next time.